We've been talking about thriving, right? God didn't call us to just survive, but to? Do you want to thrive or just survive? You want to thrive, right? And so according to Jim Wilder and Life Model, they gave us five things that every human being needs to thrive, right? But we're going to open our Bibles. Why don't you stand up for the reading of the word, okay? I'll read this, and then next one we could read together. Can you see it? Lights? You can't see it? Okay, it's 1 Samuel chapter 30. Okay, is that better? Okay, I'll read this for you because it has a lot of crazy words, okay? Okay, now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken captive the woman and those who were there. From small to great, they did not kill anyone but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelites and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Ready? We're going to read the next together. One, two, three. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Verse 19, and nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything which they had taken from them. David recovered all from them. What next? I'll read this for you. Luke 23, 34. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots. Let us pray. Father, I thank you that you've called us to a life that is abundant. That you pay the price on the cross. That we may live this life victoriously. That we would flourish. That we would thrive. That we would be fruitful. That we would be joyful, God. You didn't call us to a life of surviving, but you call us to a life that is thriving. So we ask, Lord, that you would heal us, that you would empower us, that you would renew our minds, that you would give us the mind of Jesus Christ, to have a victorious mind, to learn how to recover when things go bad, that you would give us ability to return to joy when we are kicked out of joy. You would empower us to remain in connection with you and with one another, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So thrive. Three. So this is a yarn. This represents brain pathway. Okay? And every interaction that you have with people, okay? Every thought that you think creates a brain pathway. Okay, the more you think it, stronger that brain pathway gets. The less you think, less it becomes. So Jason over here is my friend. Are you my friend? You are? You want to be my friend? Here then, accept my, right? I want to be his friend, right? He's so cool. Okay, let's go over there a little bit, right? Okay, say something nice to me. And send it back. I am. Okay, hold the end. One, the string. Yeah, and then throw it back at me. You hold, yeah, right? So he says, I'm pretty. Did you say I'm pretty? He says, I'm pretty. Somebody that cool says I'm pretty, guys. I must be really pretty, right? Right? You ask my husband, right? And so the more positive interactions I have with this friend of mine, the stronger the connection I make with him, right? But you see, when it's small, when the less interaction makes this brain pathway small and anything could destroy it, right? If he told me I was pretty, but then he went to Cara Dawn and said, you're the most prettiest person. Let's say I heard that. I'm like, I thought I was pretty. Forget it. He's a liar, right? I could easily let go of the brain, right? The connection we have. Okay, say something nice and throw it back. Okay. So it goes back and forth. Even when I am sad and I am angry and maybe I got fired, okay? Jason, guess what? They fired me. What am I going to do? What would you say? They fired me. You sure? Are you sure? Are you going to pray for me? Oh, thank you. Even when we share difficulties with one another, guess what? We strengthen our bond. Okay? So I want to try this. This is kind of hard, but can I have two more volunteers? Okay? You want to do? Oh, Kimberly. Yay. Okay, I need one more person. Okay. So while I'm preaching, okay, you guys are going to make a triangle over here. Kimberly, why don't you sit there? Kimberly's going to sit. So while I'm preaching quietly without being a distraction, you're just going to throw the yarn at each other. You're going to make a stronger. Let's see how thick you could make the bond between three of you. Okay? Can we do that? Okay, and you guys, don't worry about them until the end, okay? Now you pay attention to me. Today, we're going to talk about how to recover when things go wrong, okay? According to Life Model by Jim Wilder and their people, these are the five things that we need, right? Two Sundays ago, Pastor Sam Huddleston came, and he taught us about first thing, which is a place to belong. Every human being needs a place where we belong, okay? The second thing we need that we talked about last Sunday is to receive and give life in the very place where we belong. Without these things, we're not going to be able to thrive. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how rich you are, right? All right, so today we're going to talk about the capacity to recover from things when they go wrong. All right. So the third major factor for a human being to thrive is the ability to recover. Everybody say recover when things go wrong. See, the most resilient people are not those who never have anything go wrong in their lives, but rather those who can bounce back when things go wrong. Okay. Now, we read in 1 Samuel, David, right? He was in the wilderness. What did we say last Sunday? David knew how to thrive. Not only when he was a little child, as a shepherd, he knew how to thrive. Even though his family forgot about him, he knew how to worship God in the field. He knew how to protect his sheep from lions and bears. He knew how to thrive. He knew how to thrive as a warrior in an army, right? He knew how to thrive even when he was running for his life. He was in the wilderness. You see, what we talked about, what we read, is while David was... I'm sorry. I just saw Kendra's face. Joy building. Okay. Think joy. Think exciting. Okay. All right. David was in the wilderness running for his life. And as I shared last Sunday, right, even then in the wilderness, people came to David and said, we want to join you. Even though you're running for your life, we want to join you. And they became this mighty army that fought battles, right? And after a big battle, he comes back to Ziklag where they were camping, where their family and their children, their wives were waiting. And when he came back, what happened? They were attacked. Their campground it burnt down, right? It burnt down, and all their belongings are gone. All their family and children are gone. What do you think? Do you think that's pretty traumatic? Would you be traumatized? You came home one day and your house is burnt down, and you don't know where your wife is, and when your children, where your children, would you be traumatized? Can we all agree? David and his men are traumatized. You see, a lot of people, when bad things happen, they don't know how to recover. Okay? But David, we're going to learn from David today. David, they cried so much, they said they wept until they had no strength. Anybody been there? They cried so much that they had no strength. They're traumatized, number one. They cried until they had no strength. Okay, this third one, I don't know how David could recover from this. Third one is this, as they have no strength and they're like, oh God. His men, you know those 400 men that said, we're going to fight with you? These men were whispering, we should kill David. Let's grab a rock. Let's stone him. These men that were willing to die with him are coming against him in their minds, and they're saying, let's kill him. Oh my goodness, if Living Hope people decided to kill us, I don't know what I would do, right? I'd be like, okay, fine, I've been a bad pastor, he'll kill me, right? I would have just given up. But what did David do? Instead of just accepting this trauma, this crazy thing, what did he do? It said he strengthened himself in the Lord. He strengthened himself in the Lord, right? You know what he did? He, even though this traumatic thing happened, he brought the situation under God. Now, God, I want to see through your eyes. Without being able to see through your eyes, I don't think I could recover. But the only person who's able to empower me to recover is God. Amen? So, number one, he strengthened himself in the Lord. Number two, what did he do? He inquired God. He inquired God. Often, when we are traumatized and we're going through something difficult, what do? Do we inquire God or do we just react and say, forget it? I have been forsaken. No one is for me. God, after all these years of me being faithful, how could you let this happen? What do? We cut our connection to God. But David knew how to, what? Number one, strengthen himself in the Lord. Number two, to inquire God. God, shall I go fight? Shall I go attack? Shall I try to go recover? What shall I do? And God says, go. Go, I will be with you, and you'll be able to recover. And what did it say? David recovered all. You see, the key is your mindset, okay? The battlefield is truly in your mind. Everybody say, in my mind, okay? The mind can either heal or harm your body. Did you know that? You see, according to Jesus, according to the Bible, according to the truth, what did it, oh, next. According to the truth of God, okay, in all these things, we are more than what? Conquerors, right? We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. The key is this. What kind of mindset do you live with? Are you a victor or a victim? Yeah, we, like, in reality, really. When you get a ticket, you got stopped and you got a ticket. In that moment, are you able to walk in the victor mindset or are you a victim? Oh, man. Oh, man. God, how could you? Oh, right? Even if you're the one who is spitting, you end up accusing God, right? Are you an overcomer or are you a defeated one? Are you a conqueror or are you a loser? Do you have, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, or I can't do it? I can't do it. I can't do it. Do you have the mindset of, if God is for me, who can be against me? Or every time something goes wrong, you say, no one is for me. So according to Jim Wilder, there are two things that keeps you, that helps you recover. Okay? Okay, you know what? I think I want to set you free from this bondage. Why don't you, Kimberly, thank you so much. Okay, why don't you hold this side? You and then this is enough. You could go, thank you. Then why don't you just sit with it, okay? That's good enough for me to use later, okay? All right, okay. There are two, okay, listen to me. I'm going to do some little bit of teaching. Is that okay? Okay, so you got to pay attention. Don't fall asleep on me, okay? Two, very important thing. If you want to be able to recover well when things go wrong, you got to take care of these two things. Number one, you got to maintain your relationships, okay? You got to remain connected. You know, oftentimes, it's so weird. I don't know why pain makes us disconnect. Isn't that crazy? It's like, Benjamin was upstairs, right? He had nothing to do with me falling down. If there's stairs, I often fall down, right? If there are corners, I often run into them and I have a lot of bruises, right? It's so weird for me. Dr. Michael, maybe you could help me understand. Because, like, me, Benjamin's upstairs. He had nothing to do with me falling or hurting myself. But once I feel pain, and Benjamin's like, he hears, oh, are you okay? I'm like, I get so angry at him. Anybody? Married couple? Am I the only one? Livia? It's so weird. I get so angry at Benjamin when I hurt myself. But poor Benjamin's like, I'm sorry. Pain makes us disconnect relationally. But if your brain is strong enough, no matter how much pain you experience in that moment, you remain connected. Here, hold my hand. You remain connected relationally. And when I am relationally connected like this, and I experience pain, I experience trauma, maybe somebody stole something. Maybe somebody accused me of something. Maybe I got fired. Maybe I got sick. When things go wrong and I'm connected like this, guess what? It's easier for me to recover really quickly because of this connection relationally. But those who are not able to maintain relationship, I'm all alone. When things go bad, there's no one that I'm connected to, then it will take longer for me to recover when things go wrong. So number one, you want to recover well, you want to maintain your relationships well. Number two, you want to recover well when things go wrong, you want to regulate your emotions well. When you are able to regulate your emotions, remember I told you left brain versus right brain? Right? When you feel pain, your right brain's gonna go, ow! And when your right brain is in pain, you have to synchronize those feelings. Ow! I'm hurting! Why? Because Livia punched my face! Right? Why did you punch me? Right? When you are able to, wait, it really hurt when you said that to me. And when Livia is able to, like, tell me, oh, you know what, I am so sorry, whatever. Like, when we are able to regulate our emotions, when we just hide it, you know, she said something against me, but I'm like, and I don't deal with those emotions, I'm not able to recover well when things go wrong. Okay. Now, on the other side, right? Let's see what's on next. Okay. Jesus, he was on the cross. He didn't do anything wrong. Often, you experience pain because you did something wrong. Okay. Often, right, Benjamin and I, when we get into an argument, one of us did something that we shouldn't have or said something that we shouldn't have said. Right? But Jesus, on the cross, he did nothing wrong. But people were spitting at him. People were beating him. They nailed him to the cross. Those that are able to recover well, they maintain relationship. Even when, sorry, since I used her, I'll use you next time. Even when Livia hurt me and I am relationally connected, I'm able to say, Father, forgive Livia. She didn't know what she was doing. She just was in so much pain. When I'm able to maintain this relationship, even when she causes me pain, guess what? I am able to recover well. And that's what Jesus did next. Jesus did that really well on the cross. When they were accusing him, what did Jesus say? Father, forgive them. Forgive them. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. You know, I thought about, like, I have all these things with, like, brain pictures. Annie, just go through them all so that they know I did prepare. But I'm just going to preach. But I just want to show you. Annie, you ready? Okay? Just go. Keep on going. Right? I was going to teach you about left brain, right brain, front brain, right back brain, and what happens to the prefrontal cortex when, right? I had all these prepared, but I feel like, shoot, I'm supposed to preach, not teach neurology, right? So this is, I prepared. I just wanted you to know, right? All right, now you could turn it off, and now look at me. You see, every one of us, Jen, you praying? Every one of us has a capacity. Everybody say capacity. Remember, a few weeks ago, I talked about window of capacity. We have emotional capacity. And how strong and how big that capacity depends on, okay, how well your brain is trained. Okay? If my emotional capacity is here, but what happened to me is bigger than my capacity, show me with your hand what happens to our brain. Remember? Come on, lift it up so other people who aren't here see. Our brain goes, okay, this is our regular brain, but when stuff happens beyond our capacity, our brain goes. Remember? So many of us, we live life with this type of brain. Why? Because we don't know how to enlarge our capacity, right? We don't know how to strengthen our bond. Here, come with me. In the real perfect world, not real, but perfect world, you wouldn't see any lines. Okay, let's make it. Our bond would be strong, and right? And no matter what happens, we'll be able to remain in this capacity in our relationship, right? Right? But oftentimes, we don't know how to, when it's all messed up, right? We don't know how to make it. See, look at her face. This is, here, show. This is how we live emotionally. We don't know where to begin. Okay, you may be seated. You live with your brain beyond your capacity. And you want to be like, pastor, therapist, doctor, somebody, help me. I don't know what to do. My brain is this, and I don't know how to make it right. Right? Come on. Anybody there with me? Anybody there with me? You know, I remember when Benjamin and I first got married, we fought so much, right? And we did not know how to recover well. And I believed this lie in my mind that if we fight, we have to work it out. Okay? Right away or as long as it takes. Because if we don't deal with it, we're putting this problem under the carpet, right? So I don't want to live my life in denial with you, Benjamin. We got to work it out. So we fight all day, and we can't figure it out. So we fight the next day. And Benjamin's like, Sonny, please, I'm sorry. What are you sorry about? I don't know. See, you're not really sorry. If you don't know, how are we going to fix it for next time? We need to fight this out until you know. I mean, I sin in the beginning of our marriage. I let the sun go down while we were fighting. Sometimes, peace, it took days. Right? I sleep on the couch. Don't touch me. Right? And he tries to come, baby, do not touch me. I'm sorry. What are you sorry about? And then he tries to, you know, say, you're just saying it because you just don't want to fight. And then you're like, please, I don't know what to do, right? And I remember I was one day after like 3 nights of fighting, 3 days, full days of fighting, right? I was watching Korean video. Okay, as I'm watching Korean video, there's this couple, they kept fighting. So very annoying, right? Like they kept fighting and they fight about everything, right? And in that episode, after a big fight, right, they were eating dinner together and then they were feeding each other. I was like, wait, you just fought. You didn't resolve it. Why are you feeding each other? And then when their eyes matched as they were feeding each other, they giggled. I'm like, and then the next day, they fought again, right? They fought. And then that night, they were lovey-dovey. And he kept going throughout that episode. I was like, what is going on? And then in that moment, God spoke to me through a Korean drama. You know what he said? God says, Sonny, you think they're weird? You think they're messed up? Sometimes, in life, sometimes you just gotta learn to just shake it off. Just shake it off. Just shake it off. And I was like, but God, that mess though. You gotta learn how to shake it off relationally. You'll work it out. He knows it's there. I know it's there. We're gonna look to God. So I remember after that episode, it was like 1 a.m. Benjamin is asleep in the bedroom. So I go in the bedroom, and I go in the bed. This is after 3 days of fighting, guys. Me not willing to work it out because he doesn't know what he did wrong, right? How dare he not know after 3 days? And so finally I went, and he woke up. He's like, the deer, right? he's ready to fight. He wakes up like, okay. And then, and I just said, you know what, Benjamin? I'm sorry. He's like, I'm sorry too? Yeah, let's just make up. He's like, okay. Okay, let's just go to sleep together. He's like, okay. We went to bed. And then we woke up. And we were like that couple. We're lovey-dovey. And then we fought again. And then I didn't want to make up, but I remember that couple in the episode. You know what? You know what I realized, though? You see, being able to recover isn't to work every issue out completely, but to choose relationship, to choose connection. I know you have this problem, Benjamin, that I have with you. But you know what? As we are learning how to deal with it, I want to be relationally connected to you. I want to believe for you. I want to believe for you. And I want you to believe for me. And as we work on, and you know, sometimes even though we knew we had this issue, you know what? We had to go drink some boba together. We had to, right, go hiking together. We had to do something that was joy building. Because even if you love me till I don't know, more than life, if we don't interact with each other, the love bond doesn't get stronger. And when it's that, even though in my heart, I know you love me, if we don't work on this bond, you work all day, all night, and then, you know, you come home and we have, I don't know, we say hi and we just go to sleep and we don't spend time to do this love bonding, this connection. Guess what happens? Any trauma or any pain that is caused can break our relationship, right? And so I realized, yes, Benjamin and I have major issues. He has his father issues. I have my mother issues, right? But even then, I cannot demand him to understand and change his issues and work it out to meet my own issues with my mother. Do you understand? Sometimes my issues, not sometimes, all the time, you are never a cause but a trigger. I came into this relationship with these already issues that were hurting, right? So you want to recover well? You got to look at your relationship. Are you intentional about, right? Are you intentional about strengthening this connection? Because without it, you won't be able to recover. Oftentimes, when you are not feeling well, you want people to come. You want people to come and reach out to you. But often, you never spent time building that connection. You hear me? I feel like God is speaking to us today about connection, about increasing our capacity. How? By joy building with one another. Without it, I mean, if I feel like we had the capacity, I would go through that inner right side of our brain. There's this control center, level one, level two, level three, level four, and how when one level isn't built well, it's going to affect your ability to recover. And, you know, I would say all that, but that's too much, right? Yeah. If we are not relationally connected, we're not going to recover well. What about your connection with God? Are you relationally connected? Or do you just want him to come save you when you're in trouble? Or do you want me to just come speak truth to you when you feel overwhelmed and overcome? But if you don't work on relational connection with God, in that moment when that trauma or pain hits, you're not going to feel connected. And even if God is screaming down his truth to you, if you're not relationally connected, you're not going to be able to hear his voice that says, I am for you. I'm for you. But all you hear is, no one is for me. I'm all alone. Everybody doesn't care. I mean, nobody cares, right? All you hear is these lies when you are not relationally connected. The mindset is so important. I want to end with this. When things go wrong, do you quickly give up? Do you quickly say, I can't do it? This is impossible. No one is for me. When you allow those lies to overtake you, it cuts you off relationally. You hear me? Two things. Clinging to the truth and remain in connection. Hold me with God and with each other. Amen? I want you to stand up, and I just want to spend some time praying. If we could have worship team come. I don't know if this made sense to you, but I want us to pursue God right now for a moment. I want us to be able to run to God and say, God, I want to be able to recover well emotionally and relationally when things go wrong. Often when I feel pain, God, I feel alone. Anybody? Anybody? I want you to close your eyes and I want you to think about when things go wrong, when painful things happen, when the lies of the enemy are bombarding your mind, do you feel alone? Do you feel forsaken? If so, I feel like God is saying, come to me right now with that. Because as long as you live with that lie, you're not going to be able to live life abundant. Come on. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would speak to every individual, that you would penetrate through all the confusion that happened this morning, Lord, with all these yarns. That you would go beyond my lack of ability, God, even to articulate your heart. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would go beyond all that. My lack of ability to, our lack of understanding, that you would go beyond all that to the core of our hearts right now. What we know is that you are calling us to a season of thriving. And when we don't know how to recover well emotionally and relationally, God, we won't learn how to thrive. We won't be able to flourish, God, in this life. So, Father, right now, will you speak to your sons and daughters today? What is an area that you need to work on? Maybe your connection to God. Maybe you don't sense his presence. And you don't know how. Maybe you could ask God, God, I want to feel connected to you. God, I give you permission to work in me, whatever it takes for me to be connected to you. Maybe some of you, maybe you feel hopeless in your connection to your husband or to your wife, maybe to your child. Maybe there's a certain relationship where you feel not strong in that connection. In that place, will you come to God and say, God, 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 by myself, I don't know how to strengthen this connection, Lord. God, I don't know how to make this connection stronger, God. Will you allow God to come speak truth? Because you see, without coming to God, without strengthening yourself in the Lord in that very area, you're going to walk away. And when bad things happen, you're not gonna know what to do. But right now, as you come to God and you ask God, God, teach me how to strengthen this connection with my loved one. When you ask God, he will give you wisdom. He will strengthen you. He will strengthen your mind to walk with his mindset, not with a defeated mindset, but with a mindset of Christ. That all things are possible. That God is a supernatural God that is able to restore our relationships, to heal our brain, to renew our spirit.